Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. The Lexington chapter of ART has been bringing new life to some of the great Gildersleeves who have lost their recordings. Make no mistake, Gildy and his friends have moved south of the Mason-Dixon line. Here's episode 47. We call it Winning the War.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton and Sam Moore. We'll hear from The Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. But first, a question for you housewives. When hubby brings unexpected guests home to dinner, do you rise to the occasion? Well, it's easy to turn an everyday meal into a festive treat if you have a package or two of Pabstet around. Pabstet, the delicious golden cheese food of 100 different uses. Pabstet spreads so easily and slices so neatly, you can whip up a tempting tray of appetizers in a jiffy. Pabstet makes gloriously smooth cheese sauces that do wonders for hot vegetables, fish, egg, and chicken dishes, any number of foods. And for a great dessert that's sure to win compliments, try Pabstet melted over apple pie. Why, there are over 100 ways Pabstet adds delightful variety to menus. It's mighty handy for making nourishing between-meal sandwiches for youngsters, too. It's a fine energy food, nourishing, wholesome, and easy to digest. So ask your dealer for Pabstet tomorrow. You'll recognize it by its distinctive round, flat package. Remember, it's Pabstet, the delicious golden cheese food of 100 uses. Now, let's join our friend, the great Gildersleeve, for whom life this morning has taken on a new purpose. For some time now, his conscience has been troubling him, and he has decided that this day shall be devoted entirely to winning the war.
Here's something I bet you didn't know, Marjorie. It says here in the paper...
More coffee, Uncle Mort?
Thanks, just half a cup. There's an article here about scrap metal where it says...
Sugar?
2 lumps. It says that the aluminum... No! No sugar!
But, Uncle Mort, you always take sugar.
Well, I've already had my sugar for the day. This is my second cup. It says here...
But you don't like it without sugar.
Marjorie, I am trying, in my humble way, to convey to you a piece of information that happens to be important.
I'm sorry, Uncle Mort.
Now, if you'll be so good as to try to find time to listen, I shall endeavor to continue.
I'm listening. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Quiet, Leroy.
I didn't say anything.
Well, don't.
I never open my mouth. What's she picking on me for?
Leroy.
Quiet!
Go ahead, Uncle Mort. It's very interesting. What does the article say?
It says the aluminum scrap in a single washing machine is enough to build 21 4-pound incendiary bombs.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Did you know that, Bertie? You have 21 incendiary bombs sitting right out there in the laundry.
Goodbye, all.
I'm talking about your washing machine. The government says there's enough aluminum in it to make 21 bombs.
My, my, is that a fact?
Are you ready to give it up?
Well, those 21 bombs won't do the washing.
No, they won't.
It's a mighty handy machine.
Yes, it is.
But if they can make bombs out of it, I reckon those Japs need it worse than I do. Just tell them to drop it in the right place, that's all.
Do you mean that, Bertie?
I sure do. Scrap the machine. I'll go back to the old rub-a-dub-dub.
Good for you, Bertie.
Yes, sir. It's harder on the knuckles, but it's easier on the conscience.
By George, what this country needs is more people like Bertie. You know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the car up. I'm going to put it up for the duration.
Aw, you've been saying that for months, Unc.
Well, this time I'm going to do it. As a matter of fact, my conscience has been hurting me ever since we took that trip to Lake Hackmatack. We shouldn't have done that.
No, we shouldn't.
But I'll fix it this time. I'm going to put the old bus up on blocks. And I'm going to take out the spark plugs and bury them, so there won't be any temptation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bertie, I bet this car weighs a ton and a half.
Yes, sir. I'll bet it does.
Darn, Jack. It never was any good anyway. Once more now.
You know what, Mr. Gillsleeve? It would be easier if you got out of the car.
Oh, I don't dare, Bertie. If this emergency brake doesn't hold, I'm afraid you'll roll. Just try it once more.
This car's harder to raise than a ready-mix cake. How high does it have to go?
High enough for me to get under it.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, just keep pumping. How is it now? Do you think it will clear me?
I don't know. How far would you say it is from your front side to your back side, Mr. Gillsleeve?
What's that?
I mean, what's your altitude when you're laying down?
Let's face it, you mean how fat am I?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're the cook. You ought to know that as well as anybody.
Yes, sir, I ought to. But then again, it seems like it can't be that much.
Well, it is.
I'll tell you. If you could get out and lay down beside the car, I could sort of measure with my eye.
I can't. I can't let go of this brake. And don't you let go of that jack or the whole thing will come down.
Oh, no, sir. I won't let go.
How high is it now?
It looks like about a foot and a half. Will that do?
Gosh, let's see. Now, a foot and a half. I know when I'm lying in bed, I can just see the top of the dresser over my horizon. But I guess that isn't going to help us much.
Only if you're trying to fit under the dresser.
Let's see. I remember they taught us a formula when I was in school. I wear a size 52 trouser, so that means my circumference is 52 inches, and circumference equals, I believe it had something to do with pi r square.
I'd say pi has a lot to do with your circumference, Mr. Gillsleeve.
Quiet, Bertie. I'm figuring. Let x equal my stomach,
Maybe Leroy would know.
If Leroy was around, we wouldn't have to bother with higher mathematics. He could skin under there and do the job himself.
He took it on the lam right after breakfast.
Yes, when there's any work to be done, that boy's scarcer than rubber.
I think he gets it from his uncle.
Huh? Oh, hello, Marjorie. Well, we've got the front wheels up.
Good for you. You know, I never really believed you'd give up the car.
Well, I hate to do it, I can tell you that. I'm going to miss the old bus.
I know you are. We all are. We've had a lot of fun in it.
Yes, and gone a lot of places. You know, this is really kind of a solemn moment, Marjorie. I mean, here we are putting her away for the last time.
It's like saying goodbye to a friend.
Yes. Well, goodbye, old friend. We've hit the dusty trail together for the last time, you and I. Why, Marjorie?
I can't help it. The first time I ever got kissed was right in that front seat.
There, there. I wouldn't feel that badly about it. You'll get kissed again. There's no rational on that yet.
Mr. Gillsleeve, did you forget about me? I've still got this jack by the tail.
Oh, my goodness. Bertie, can you slip that block under the car?
I'll try. Yes, sir. It just fits.
Good. You can let go now, Bertie, and I'll do the rest. Thanks. And if you see Leroy, send him out here.
Yes, sir.
Well, I guess I've got to get out and get under.
What for?
Have to let the water out of the radiator.
Well, be careful, Uncle Mort. It looks like a tight squeeze.
I guess I'd better go at it sunny side up. I'll never be able to turn over once I get under there.
Careful.
The way they build these cars now is a crime. Oop! Oh, grease. Nasty under here. Hand me those pliers, will you, Marjorie?
Here you are.
Where? Put them in my hand, will you? I can't see. I've got dirt in my eyes. Now, take that instruction book. It's on the front seat, and read me what it says about draining the radiator, will you?
Let's see.
Look in the index under radiator.
Radiator, page 7. Here it is. To drain radiator, turn small valve located below and to the left of the water pump.
Well, that's a lot of help. Where's the water pump?
Search me.
Huh. I guess I'll just have to try things till I hit it. Oh, don't do that.
I didn't do anything.
Well, who did? Somebody did it.
It must have been you.
It wasn't me. All I did was touch this little... Oh! Scared the life out of me.
Here comes Leroy.
About time.
Hi, Marge.
Leroy, where have you been?
Where have I been? Where are you?
He's under the car.
Oh.
Answer my question. Where were you?
Downtown.
Doing what?
Oh, just reading.
Where? At the library?
No, at the drugstore.
At the drugstore? Reading what?
Comic books.
Young man, when I was your age, I didn't waste my time on trash. I read books like Ivanhoe and Rikki Tikki Tavi and The Rover Boys Out West. Hand me that wrench.
Yes, sir. What are you trying to do, Unc?
I'm trying to find the dingus that drains the radiator.
Well, there it is.
Where? What?
Right over your head there. That little spigot.
No, no. That's got something to do with the engine.
I tell you, that's it.
Young man, I was fixing cars before you were born.
All right. If you don't believe me, turn it on.
All right, I will. Leroy! Get me out! Get me out of here! I'm stuck!
Grab his other leg, Marge, and help me pull.
Quick! I'm drowning!
Pull!
I'm pulling!
Here he comes!
Are you all right, Uncle Mort?
No, I feel horrible. I'm full of antifreeze.
Well, you look better, Uncle Mort.
I feel better. I had a shower. I'll just get a cigar now, and then we'll go to work again.
What next?
Marjorie, who's been in my humidor?
Why, nobody, Uncle Mort.
Oh, don't tell me I'm out of cigars. Why didn't I think of that before I put the car up? I've got half a mind to take it down again.
Uncle Mort!
Well, I haven't got any cigars. A man can't do any work without a cigar. Leroy!
He's gone out again, Uncle Mort.
Darn kid, he's never around when you need him. Well, I guess I'll just have to get them myself. Did he take his bicycle?
No, I don't think so.
Good, I'll ride that.
You ride a bicycle?
Certainly. Why not?
I don't know. I just never thought of you on a bicycle before.
Well, what's so funny about it? It just so happens, young lady, that I was a very good bicycle rider in my day.
Oh, I'm sure you were, Uncle Mort, in your day.
Well, my day isn't over. You'll see. We'll all be riding bicycles yet, and I can ride with the best of them. Oh, go away. Go away, dog. Go away.
Come here, Rags. Come here, boy.
That's right, Leroy. Call him.
Hey, Unc. Hey, where are you going?
Down to the drugstore. Look, Leroy. No hands. Oh!
Good morning, Gildy.
Morning, Judge.
What's the idea of walking the bicycle? Why don't you ride it?
I did ride it. That's why I'm walking it.
Oh, I thought you looked a little disheveled. What happened?
My center of gravity isn't where it used to be.
I'll say it isn't.
Excuse me, Judge. I've got to stop in the drugstore here.
What's your hurry?
Sorry. I'd like to stop and chat with you, Judge, but I'm very busy today.
Busy with what?
The war. I'm devoting my whole day to it.
Pardon me, Mr. President. Don't let me hold you up.
See you later.
Good morning, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Good morning, Mr. Peavy.
Nice day.
Yes, it is. Well, sir, I just put my car up on blocks for the duration.
Is that a fact? Well, I guess we'll all be coming to it sooner or later.
Yes, sooner or later. That's just what's wrong with this town.
Oh, what?
They sit around waiting till they come to it, instead of getting out and fighting.
No, no, I wouldn't say that.
It's true, by George. Sometimes I think I'm the only man in this town who knows there's a war on.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that either. There's Judge Hooker there. He's head air raid warden.
Judge Hooker? He hasn't even heard about the Spanish-American War yet.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
I'll have three of those cigars there, those Panatellas.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to charge you another nickel for those, Mr. Gildersleeve.
What?
Yep, that'll be 30 cents.
I won't pay it. Why, I've never paid more than three for a quarter for those cigars in my life.
I know it, but the price just went up.
Just as I came in the door, I suppose. Do you know what that is, Peavy? It's inflation.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that.
It's inflation, and I'm not going to be a party to it. You heard what the president said last week.
Yes, I did.
Well?
Well, it's like the fella says in the paper. Did you read that editorial they had there in the Indicator last night?
No, I don't need any editorial writer to tell me what I think.
Well, it was pretty good. I'll read it to you, if I can find it. You got it here somewhere. Oh, here it is. He calls it, Watchman, What of the Night?
What's that got to do with the price of potatoes?
Well, I guess he had to call it something. But he starts out and he says, we often hear people say, well, I won't read you the whole thing, but he's got a good idea.
Yes, if we only knew what it was.
Well, I'll tell you. He says it's your patriotic duty, if you don't like something, to complain to your congressman.
Oh?
So, if you don't like the price of these cigars, Mr. Gildersleeve, don't blame me. Get in touch with Tim Abernathy down in Washington.
By George, that's just what I'll do. I'll write him a letter. It's time he knew the kind of thing that's going on here in Summerfield. It's time we got some action. Honorable Timothy Abernathy.
Honorable Timothy Abernathy.
House of Representatives, Washington, D.C., dear sir.
You know, really, Uncle Mort, this is just a waste of time.
Why? What do you mean?
All you'll get from Abernathy will be one of those form letters.
Oh, no. Abernathy wouldn't do that to me. I voted for him in 5 elections. Washington, D.C., dear sir. I have been intending to write you for some time as regards inflation. Abernathy isn't going to send me a form letter. I contributed $2 to his campaign fund. About those seeds you sent me, I just want you to know they never came up. On the question of inflation, do you really think he'd send me a form letter, Marjorie?
Well, he must be pretty busy these days.
Huh, no busier than I am. I wasn't too busy to vote for him in the last election. By golly, I'll teach him to send me a form letter. He isn't going to pull that on me. I'll call him up. Give me that phone there.
Uncle Mort, do you really think you ought to?
I'll tell him a thing or two. Operator, I want long distance. I'll tell him. Hello? I want to put through a person-to-person call to the Honorable Timothy Abernathy in the House of Representatives, Washington, D.C. Abernathy. No, I don't know his home address. There.
What did she say?
She said there'd be a slight delay. She's going to call me back.
My, aren't you excited? Calling Washington.
Yes, indeed. Wait till Hooker hears about this. I bet he's never called Washington. I bet some people probably go all their lives without ever calling Washington. I think I'll call up the old goat.
Hello?
Hello, Judge. Gildersleeve. I just called up to tell you not to phone me. I'm expecting an important call from Washington.
We'll hear more from the Great Gildersleeve in just a few seconds. These days there are a lot of brides, so I want to observe that any bride who can boil water can make delicious macaroni and cheese. Yes, fluffy light macaroni, drenched in cheese goodness. In just 7 minutes cooking time, she can make that dish men love so much. All she needs is a package of the product called Kraft Dinner. Here's how it works. In every package of Kraft Dinner, there's a special macaroni that cooks tender just in boiling water. No need to blanch or bake this macaroni. Also in the Kraft Dinner package, there's some Kraft grated, so you just sprinkle the cheese goodness through and through the fluffy macaroni. All in all, it takes only 7 minutes at the stove to produce light macaroni drenched in cheese goodness. A main dish that's sure to please the groom. You busy brides of other years will also find that Kraft Dinner is a big help and thrifty, too. So everybody, experienced cooks and brides, tomorrow, get Kraft Dinner and begin making really delicious macaroni and cheese in only 7 minutes. Now, let's get back to the Great Gildersleeve. After a meatless but nutritious lunch of soybeans, tomatoes, and cream puffs, he is off once more, this time on a survey of the scrap situation.
Hey, Marge, if Uncle Mort wants me, I'll...
He's going to want you right away.
How do you know? Where is he?
Down in the cellar.
Uh-oh. I don't like the sound of that.
He said to tell you not to run off.
Leroy?
Here, Unc.
Don't make too many plans for your afternoons this winter, Leroy.
What do you mean?
The furnace. Remember the furnace?
What about it?
I'm taking that oil burner unit out of here and putting back the old coal grate.
Gosh, Unc, do we have to go back to the horse and buggy?
Now, Leroy.
Why, Uncle Mort, next thing I know, you'll be wearing a bustle.
Marjorie, I do not need a bustle.
You can say that again. What's the furnace got to do with me, anyhow?
Every morning, young man, you shake it down and take out the ashes. Every afternoon, you sift the ashes and put on more coal. Every evening, you bank the fire so it'll burn all night.
Do I get a raise in my allowance?
No, Leroy, this is war. Now let's get upstairs and clean out that attic. Now, if we go at this thing systematically, it won't take any time at all. Many hands make light work, you know.
I know.
Leroy, you skin up the ladder there and open the trap door, will you? I'm not built for this second story work.
Okay, Aunt.
Careful. Don't let it come down on your head.
All right, Aunt. Come on up.
Oh, I hope this ladder holds.
I'll give you a hand.
Stop! Don't! You're pulling my coat over my head. There. Now, if I can get the rest of me up. That's the hard part.
There you are.
Gosh, dust an inch thick. Achoo! And look at that pile of newspapers.
Yeah.
Careful, Leroy. Step only on the rafters. Don't step between them. There's nothing there but lath and plaster.
Wouldn't you think they'd have put in a floor?
What's that? Oh, wasps.
Don't worry. They won't harm you if you don't harm them.
Whoever told you that?
You did, a long time ago.
Well, don't you believe it.
I'm coming up.
Be careful, Marjorie.
Oh, I've been up here before. This is where I used to come when I wanted to sulk.
Hey, here's an old ringer. This'll make swell scrap.
Ah, a bonanza. It's got rubber rollers.
Here, I'll pass it over to you.
Wait a minute, Leroy. Let's get organized here first. Uh-oh, where's he gonna light?
What?
That wasp again. He's buzzing around me here. Go away!
Stand still, Unc.
Oh, get him off me. Get him off me, somebody.
Where is he?
On my face.
Play dead, Unc. Don't move.
Get us water, somebody. No, don't. Oh, he's crawling up my nose.
Don't do that, Uncle Mort. Your eyes might stay that way.
There he goes. Oh. Let's get going on this stuff.
It's hard to know where to begin.
Here's an old washbow. What do you suppose they use that for?
For washing, Leroy. You wouldn't know anything about that. Look, we're getting nowhere. Let's start at one end and work down to the other. Leroy, open that cardboard box there and see what's in it.
A lot of old photographs and stuff. Hey, here's one of Shirley Temple.
Where would we get a picture of Shirley Temple? Let's see it.
Here.
That is not Shirley Temple. It's me at the age of 4. Yes, and I was a darn cute kid.
Yeah, but Unc, those curls.
Never mind. Forget the photographs, will you? I can see if there's going to be any work done here. I've got to do it myself.
I'll help you, Uncle Mort. You hand things to me and I'll...
Careful there, Marjorie. Don't step off the rafters. There's only the ceiling below.
Oh, for corn's sake, get a load of this.
What is it?
A letter. Dearest Poogie.
Who's Poogie?
Your lovely flowers and your beautiful poem have just arrived, and I must take my pen in hand at once to tell you I love you, I love you, I love you.
That is the silliest thing I've ever heard. Read some more.
Yes, go on.
All my life I have dreamed that someday a gallant knight would come riding on a white steed. Oh, brother. To take me away with him, but not till your dearest lips first met mine did I dream that his name would be Throckmorton.
Leroy, give me that letter.
Why, Uncle Mort.
Oh, my darling, darling Poogie.
Give it to me. Give it here.
I'll never forget last night when you were sitting on my lap and you said...
Leroy, give me that letter.
Look out.
Oh!
Are you all right, Uncle Mort?
Yes, but I've found a new entrance to the powder room. That was a real supper, Marjorie. We soldiers on the home front have to eat, you know, same as other soldiers.
Of course you do.
And sleep, too. I think I'll just glance through the evening paper and then I'll be ready for taps.
Say, Uncle Mort, do you mind if I listen to the fight on the radio?
I certainly do mind, Leroy. I'll have nothing loud on that radio this evening.
But it's a title bout, Unc.
Leroy, I'm too tired to listen to a fight, and too tired to fight with you about it.
Now, Leroy, Uncle Mort's had a hard day winning the war, and he deserves a quiet evening. I'll go get your slippers, Uncle Mort.
Ah, that's a good girl. I wish you were more like your sister, Leroy.
I'll bring you a cigar.
Nah, that's better.
Can I have one?
Now, Leroy, you know better than to ask that.
Here are your slippers, Uncle Mort, and a pillow for your head.
Ah, now you're spoiling me. You know, I think fall must be just around the corner. Nip in the air. I'll bet I could go to sleep right in this chair. Oh, who's calling up at this hour of the night?
It's only 7:30, Unc.
Hello? It's the operator, Uncle Mort. She says there will be a delay of several hours on your call to Washington.
Call to Washington? Oh, Washington! Well, cancel it. I probably shouldn't be cluttering up the wires anyhow.
Oh, operator, cancel the Washington call, please. Thank you.
Ah, little man. You've had a busy day. Some things accomplished, some things done. To earn a night's repose. Longfellow. Oh, my goodness. Now what?
I'll see. Oh, hello, Judge. Come in.
Oh, that old goat. Hello, Judge. It's fine to see you.
Evening, Marjorie.
Good evening, Judge Hooker.
Throckmorton, I hear you've been talking about me.
What do you mean?
I understand you've informed various people around town that I don't know the Spanish-American War is over.
Well, do you?
So you admit it. Well, I want you to know I resent it. I'm just as much concerned about this war as anybody, and as head of the Summerfield Civilian Defense, I'm going to prove it.
It's about time, Judge. What are you going to do?
Surprise blackout with imaginary incidents. We'll test all the wardens, fire watchers, first aiders, everybody.
Good idea. As a fire watcher, I'm all for it. When are you planning to do it?
In 10 minutes. Come on, fire watcher. Get out of that armchair and go climb up to your post.
Climb?
Yes. Tonight, you're on top of the water tower, top of Kelly's Tool Works.
Oh, on top of all I've done? All right, Hooker, I'll go. But as General Sherman would have said if he'd have been on the radio, war is heck!
My goodness, Mr. Gillsleeve. It's 3 o'clock. You just now getting home?
Yes, Bertie. Sorry to wake you up, but my keys fell in Kelly's water tank.
That's all right. But you sure had a long day today.
Yes, I have. But it was all for the war, Bertie. I put the car up and it darn near drowned me. I wrecked a bicycle. Then I tried to get out the scrap and kicked a hole in the ceiling. And finally I spent the night crawling up and down a water tank looking for imaginary fires.
My, my. Did you see any?
No. All in all, Bertie, a pretty tough day. But you know something? I'm glad I did it. Every bit of it. I feel kind of proud of myself. This has been one of my good days. Good night, everybody.
Music heard on this program was under the direction of Claude Sweeten. This is Brian Hendrickson inviting you to listen in again next Sunday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This presentation of The Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as The Great Gildersleeve. Missy Carl played Leroy, with Cindy Martin Asher as Marjorie. Lisette Ralph played Bertie. Nick Helton was the judge. And yours truly, Bob Hutchison, played Mr. Peavy. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. This is Bob Hutchison inviting you to join us again next time for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve.
Now let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
I'd like you to meet the whole K crew, ready with tunes transcribed just for you. Little lovely Laura Leslie lilts a lively, lilting lyric. Wow, what a mouthful.
If a custom-tailored vet asked me out for something wet, when that vet begins to pet, I cry hooray. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. I've been asked to have a meal by a big tycoon in steel. If that meal includes a deal, accept I may. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. There's an oil man known as Tex, who is keen to give me checks. And his checks, I fear me, the Tex is here to stay. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. From Ohio, Mr. Thorne calls me up from night till morn. Mr. Thorne wants cornered corn, and that ain't hay. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. Mr. Harris, plutocrat, wants to give my cheek a pat. If the Harris pat means a Paris hat, baby. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way.
Don Cornell is vice president in charge of Dusty Manuscripts today. And he's leading the cadets in this arrangement of a really great old song.
Bag of my heart, I love you. We'll never part, I love you. Dear little girl, sweet little girl. Sweeter than the rose of Erin are your winning smiles, endearing. Peg of my heart, your glances with Irish heart entrance us. Come be my own, come make your home in my heart. Peg of my heart, than the rose of Erin are your winning smiles endearing. Peg of my heart, your glances with Irish heart entrance us. Come be my own, come make your home in my heart.
If they're tall or short, big or small, the Swing and Sway Band loves them all. Here's one they call Little Girl.
Little
time, here are the three cadets with a serenade to a petite damsel.
Little girl, you're the one girl for me. Little girl, you're as sweet as can be. Just a glance at you meant love from the start. And oh, what a thrill came into my heart. Little girl, with your cute little ways, I am yours for the rest of my days. And this great big world will be divine. Little girl, when you're mine, all mine.
Alamo has a habit of practicing his numbers in his hotel room. And a few weeks ago in Washington, after he'd been singing for, oh, about an hour, someone slipped a note under the door requesting this next tune. Well, leave us not neglect our fans, Tony.
Oh, a kiss, a kiss made out of gold, made of lover's gold, because the kiss was true. Once there was a fool who shared this lover's gold. But just like a fool, it's worth he never knew. Now he walks alone and broken heart. Saddest thing of all, about the tale I've told, is that I'm the fool who wasted lover's gold.
I should envy a millionaire. Chances are that he walks around and envies me. Fiddly-dee, fiddly-dye, joy is a thing you never qualify.
Don't ask yourself why. Be happy singing fiddly-dee, fiddly-dye.
Fiddly-dee,
fiddly-dee,
fiddly-dye.
Fiddly-dye, fiddly-dee, fiddly-dee, fiddly-dye, fiddly-dye.
Chose was so beautiful, there wasn't a dry eye in the church, including mine. I've asked him to sing it again for us now. Don, come on over here.
Because you come to me with not save love and hold my hand and lift mine eyes above, a wide world of hope and joy I see. Because you come to me, because you speak to me in action sweet, I find the roses waking round my feet, and I am led through tears and joy to thee, because you speak to me. God made thee mine, I'll cherish thee, dear. Through light and darkness, through all time to be, and pray his love may make our love divine.
Alamo went to see South Pacific a little while ago, and he's been after me ever since to let him do a certain number from the show. It's a tune that was a slow starter, but looks like it's due to go far. So, sing it for us, Tony.
101 pounds of fun, that's my little honey bun. Get a load of honey bun tonight. I'm speaking of my sweetie pie, only 60 inches high, every inch is packed with dynamite. Her hair is blonde and curly, her curves are hurly-burly, her lips are pips, I call her hips, whirly and whirly. She's my baby, I'm her pap, I'm her boobie, she's my trap. I am caught and I don't want to run, 'cause I'm having so much fun with honey bun. Her hair is blonde and curly, her curls are hurly-burly, her lips are pips, I call her hips, whirly and whirly. I'm her pap. I'm her booby, she's my trap. I am caught and I don't want to run, 'cause I'm having so much fun with Honey Bun. Believe me, Sonny, she's a cookie who can cook you till you're done. Ain't being funny, Sonny, put your money on my Honey Bun.
There are three good reasons why this tune we just recorded for Victor looks like a real winner. And all three of them are cadets. Here they are to sing it for you as the Chrysler Song of the Week.
Dime a dozen, dime a dozen. You can keep your dime a dozen kisses now.
I was still running errands after school for Happelmeyer's Grocery back at Rocky River when this tune first came out. And I'm sure neither Mr. Happelmeyer nor I ever thought I'd be taking it out of my dusty manuscripts for you today. It's Honey, remember? And Don Cornell to give it a really romantic flavor.
I'm in love with you, honey. Say you love me too, honey.
No one else will do, honey. Seems funny, but it's true.
I loved you from the start, honey.
Well, bless your little heart, honey.
Every day will be so sunny, honey, with you, honey, with you, honey, with you.
America's Sweetheart, Don Cornell and Laura Leslie provide a little romantic conversation.
Be good, good, good to me. I'll be good, good, good to you. Give me all your kisses, and I'll give mine to you. Don't go out with anyone else. I'll tell the girls I'm through. Be good, good, good to me. I'll be good, good, good to you.
Be goody, good, good to me, and I'll be goody, good, good to you. Don't give me cause to worry, I'll never make you blue. When someone else is cut up here, I'll say no, no can do. Be goody, good, good to me, I'll be goody, good, good to you.
Goody, good, good to me. I'll be goody, good, good to you.
give me all your kisses, and I'll give mine to you.
Don't go out with anyone else.
I'll tell the boys I'm through.
Be goody, good, good to me. I'll be goody, good, good to you.
Tony Alamo's parents didn't come from the old sod, as they say at O'Reilly's Chop House, but there's a touch of Irish tenor in him somewhere, sure and begorra. Show the folks what I mean, Tony, me by.
If you ever go across the seas to Ireland, then maybe at the closing of your day, you will sit and watch the moon rise over Clutter and see the sun go down on Galway Bay, just to hear again the ripple of a trout stream, the women in the meadows making hay, and to sit beside a turf fire in the cabin and watch the barefoot gossams at their play. For the breeze is blowing o'er the seas to Ireland, are perfumed by the heather as they blow, and the women in their plans digging praties speak a language that the strangers do not know. For the strangers came and tried to teach us their way. They scorned us just for being what we are, but they might as well go chasing after moonbeams or light a penny candle from a star. And if there is going to be a life hereafter, and somehow I'm sure there's going to be, I will ask my God to let me make my heaven in that dear land across the Irish.
From my collection of dusty manuscripts, we've taken a song that was a great favorite when ukuleles and raccoon coats were standard equipment for any college boy. Silly three cadets to answer their own questions.
Has she got naughty eyes? Yes, she has got naughty eyes. That's certain, that certain party. You know the one I mean. Sure, you know the one I mean. That certain party of mine. Naughty eyes, turned up nose, rosy cheeks, pretty close, not a smarty. Has she got loving ways? Sure she has got loving ways. That certain party of mine.
Here's Don Cornell singing as smoothly as a ride in a silver anniversary Chrysler with the Prestomatic fluid drive transmission. With the K Choir, he sings that great Western ballad.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way.
When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw a-plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw. Yippee-i-yay! Oh. Their brands were still on fire and their hooks was made of steel. Oh. Their horns was black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. Oh. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky. For he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. Oh. Yippee-i-yay! As the riders roped on by him, he heard one call his name. Oh, if you want to save your soul from hell, riding on the range, oh, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, a trying to catch the devil's herd up in these endless skies. Oh, yippee-i-yay! Riders in the sky. Ghost riders in the sky. Yippee-i-yo! Yippee-i-yo!
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. For more ART podcasts, please go to www.americanradiotheater.org. You know, we put up a new one every month. The next old-time radio marathon will be on December the 12th, 9 a.m. Pacific to 9 p.m. Pacific, on radiooutofthepast.org. Hey, see you later!